So, I wonder, can I have a thumbs up that you can hear me? Great, thank you. So, welcome to the formal beginning of the retreat. And the first thing that's in my heart is, in fact, to welcome you all again. And this time I want to say that our intention, our aspiration is to for everyone to feel welcomed, everyone feel like they belong here and are an honored member of our community. And that includes everyone of whatever ethnicity, whatever race, whatever nationality, whatever religion, whatever gender, whatever sexual orientation, whatever abilities you have, and whatever economics situation you have, or whatever your work, and whatever your, it goes on and on. The idea is to really, whatever your age, we would really want everyone who's a human being to feel like this is a place that they belong and that they're welcomed here. That's our attempt. And it's I think for it's quite important for me because I think that this is a sacred thing we're doing. Both is a sacred thing to be doing a practice together that touches some of the most profound or the most profound places in our hearts and minds. And to be talking about this, to be practicing this, to be supporting this deep inner work. We want everyone to feel that they can be themselves and be accepted and be safe and included. And if there's something we need to learn or know that would enable us to do a better job at this, we certainly would like to hear about it. So we have a theme for the retreat. And the theme is related to the teachings on dependent arising. There's an ancient saying attributed to the Buddha that those who see dependent arising see the Dharma. Those who see the Dharma see dependent arising. So this dependent arising teaching, or this reality of dependent arising, is that certain things occur depending on other things being in place first or other things occurring at the same time. And so, if the power grid is off and you flip the switch for your lights, no light will come on. The light comes on dependent on there being electricity flowing through the grid to your home or your building. And then you don't exactly cause the light to go on. You enable the electricity to do its work of lighting up the coil or lighting up whatever kind of light bulb you have. If you're growing plants, growing, a farmer doesn't cause the plant to grow, but enables the plant to grow. The farmer cultivates the plant, and the plant grows. Not the cause of the plant to grow is not the water or the nutrients the farmer provides. The water and the nutrients. The plant grows dependent on there being water and nutrients. And so the farmer provides the water and nutrients, perhaps, and then the plant can grow. And so this principle of dependent arising has a number of conclusions to it, or one number of teachings that it kind of presents. One is that when we practice, one is that our suffering that we have is not a fixed thing. It's not like we're, it's hardwired into us. But the suffering that the Buddha is really pointing to, the psychological suffering, is something which is dependent on the arising of something else. Something else has to be occurring for our suffering to be there. And this is meant to be good news, because if it's something that's provisional, contingent, only there because of the presence of something else, then when those other things are no longer there, then it doesn't have to remain. It has no inherent existence that exists independently forever. It's there because of conditions have come together, and we can shift those conditions. And then some of the core ways in which the inner life grows and develops and matures through Buddhist practice is not something that's caused. It's not something we, like a farmer who doesn't cause the plant to grow, we don't grow in the Dharma, but we enable the growth to occur. Our job is to provide the conditions for something to grow within us that is the Dharma. And it can grow because when the conditions are there, when the water and nutrients are there, the seed will sprout and grow. When the Dharma conditions are there, then we begin to grow. And in a sense, we grow out of our suffering. We evolve out of it. It's like the lotus grows out of the muddy waters. And so a big part of what we're doing is appreciating conditionality. Our role is to put the conditions in place and make room for and allow for something to evolve and develop. And these two things that work hand in hand, that we contribute our part to the practice simultaneously as allowing something to grow, simultaneously as getting out of the way for it. And I like the metaphor of the farmer. The farmer puts water and nutrients at the base of the plant, and the plant at the top keeps growing bigger and taller. So we're contributing to the base of who we are, the foundation. And then we don't stand and we're not tugging at the top of the plant. We don't put a ceiling they can't grow up out of. We make sure the plant has open space for which it can grow upwards and outwards through the sun. So we're kind of putting the nutrients in. And the nutrients have a lot to do with being mindful, being present, being kind, being generous to ourselves, to our experience, to being compassionate and caring. It has a lot to do with having a new relationship to our suffering. This is an experienced students' practitioners retreat. And I hope that what that means, I don't really know what that means. I wish I could, define it exactly. But what I hope it means is that you've practiced the Dharma long enough that you have come to some new understanding about suffering, some new relationship to suffering that you did not have before the Dharma, where you understand that the attitude, the approach, how we practice with suffering leads to some kind of change, growth, development, freedom, release that wasn't possible for you maybe before really knew about this practice. Maybe like like me, all I knew was to suffer. And I tried to get rid of the suffering or not have the suffering, but I had no idea what I didn't even know what my suffering was about at the core and the center of it. And my attempts to do something about it were mostly inconsequential in the big picture. But when I encountered the Dharma and the practice, then I understood so much. And then suffering wasn't so frightening. Suffering wasn't such a depressing thing. suffering was a possibility for, there was a path, there was a door, there was a new way of relating to it. And what that new way can give is some kind of inspiration to be inspired. Oh, there's a way, there's a possibility, there's a practice I can do. I think I know how to meet these challenges I have in a way where I don't get entangled or caught or all that. And so here we have an example that with suffering, dependent on suffering, good old-fashioned suffering, dependent on that, there can be an understanding of a new way, a healthy way to relate to that suffering. That understanding of a healthy way to relate to suffering can actually lead to, that itself is the condition that can give rise to a certain kind of inspiration that the Buddha called gladness. To have gladness or inspiration in the practice because it's, you know, it's really works in some way, can give you more enthusiasm, more love, dedication for doing the practice, for plunging in wholeheartedly here. Let me really do this. Let me really be here. And this is so important. Maybe the most important thing. And let me now, for these moments of these minutes, hours, weeks of this retreat, let me happily, politely put aside many of things I'm usually preoccupied with because I have something really wonderful to do, to practice really here. And then giving ourselves over to that. So with the joy, we give ourselves over more. And that giving ourselves over more gives, that's a condition then for the arising of Dharma joy. We have Dharma joy, and things feel good. Things feel kind of safe, or things make sense. It's like I'm on a path, and I'm engaged. I'm in the Dharma now, and then we can calm down. Because certain kind of agitation and restlessness can settle, and I'm here, and there's a tranquility that sits in. Tranquility is the condition for a certain kind of happiness, Dharma happiness. Dharma happiness is the condition for becoming really settled, composed, steady, concentrated, based on getting really concentrated and steady, insights can happen. Insights are dependent on having a mind that's still and quiet. With insight, then there's disenchantment. Start becoming disenchanted with clinging, disenchantment with craving, disenchantment with grasping. That's dependent on insight, understanding. That leads to a process of fading away of grasping and clinging. And the fading away of grasping and clinging is the condition for a deep release, a letting go, liberation. And then that is a condition for knowing that you've experienced liberation. So what I just went through is a classic list of dependent arising that is called, usually it's called transcendent dependent arising or dependent conditioned arising. I like to call it liberative dependent arising, partly because the word transcendent lends itself to the idea that we're going someplace totally other than this lived world that we live in. It's something completely apart from this world. In some discussions of this, that use of the word. And liberative just means that now we're free. maybe in this world. So liberative dependent arising is the theme. And it is the good news of Buddhism, that nothing exists independently. Everything is malleable. Everything is in flux and is in process. And sometimes we're contributing, adding the conditions that leads to further suffering. And sometimes we're contributing the conditions that lead to freedom from suffering. And here in this dependent arising kind of teaching, the fork in the road begins with really being present to suffering and seeing and knowing the healthy way, the healthy fork out of suffering. So in being an experienced student's retreat, I hope that you have some hint, some inkling, some intuition, some feeling for that fork in the road, that distinction between suffering in such a way that you only suffer more, or suffering in such a way that you're on the path to the freedom from suffering, to liberation from suffering. But it begins with suffering. So ideally, you're not afraid to suffer. Ideally, you're not resisting your suffering, hiding from it, pretending it's not there. Ideally, you're not trying to run away from it or bypass it or leapfrog over it. In a sense, suffering is the soil. Maybe it's the barren soil for the seed of the Dharma. And our job is to fertilize and water that barren soil so something beautiful can grow out of it. And that beautiful thing is you. The Dharma in you. So I started off by saying that one who sees the Dharma sees dependent arising. One who sees dependent arising sees the Dharma. In a whole other place, the Buddha said that where he likened or considered the saying that taking refuge in the Dharma is the same as taking refuge in yourself. And taking refuge in yourself makes sense when we know that fork, when we understand how to bring the practice into feeding, supporting, nourishing the soil of our life with goodness, with practice, with mindfulness, with persistence, with compassion and care. To do this practice because we really care about ourselves. Maybe we love ourselves. To nourish it with friendliness, with a lot of acceptance. So we contribute the conditions. And then we allow, we enable, we make space for something inside you which is not quite you to have room, space, to grow and develop and flower. So the liberative dependent arising, that's the theme for this retreat. And we'll, the talks will be based on those as we go through. And starting with the first, with suffering. So I've taught this theme in other retreats, experienced students' retreats, and I find it a wonderful teachings for purposes of a retreat because it kind of more or less goes along with the unfolding of the retreat in some kind of way, in a broad strokes. And it's also the teachers can kind of adjust the themes a little bit to hopefully fit where the retreat is for you. And ideally, each of you will teach in such a way that each of you will either find yourself in the teachings of these 12 different steps of liberated, dependent, arising, or you have permission and are encouraged. If what we're teaching doesn't quite, it's not a quite match, you don't quite see yourself in it or relate to it, maybe you can kind of reframe it for yourself or put it into your own language, your own words, so that it makes sense or it represents something you're discovering in the Dharma for yourself and make it relevant. And so I look forward to this theme and look forward to how we go through it and experience it as a community. So with that, we'll do the kind of formal beginning of refuges and precepts, and Kirsten will do the refuges with you.
Thank you, Gil, and everyone. Can you hear me? Is this good volume? Okay, great. I was just feeling moved by what Gil shared around giving ourselves over to the practice. And in many ways, I think that's a really beautiful contemplation for taking refuge in triple jewel of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, what it is to really give ourselves over to that. And refuge really invoking for me a sense of safety and surrender and trust, which is in many ways this preparing of the ground that Gil was also speaking to, and then the allowing of the growing to happen from that ground. So, imagining that many of you are quite familiar with the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, and the practice of taking refuge, but just for those of you who might want a little refresher, that the Buddha, this practice of taking refuge in this triple jewel, the Buddha refers to a couple of things: the sort of absolute, unconditional Buddha nature of our own selves and of all things, and also this capacity for awakening, that the Buddha himself represents this awakened being that we also have the potential to become. So, in taking refuge in the Buddha, we're really aligning ourselves with this capacity and with our own Buddha nature. And then the Dharma also has multiple meanings. It's taking refuge in our own reality, in what is true, as well as these teachings and techniques, the kind of arts of the practice. So, again, giving ourselves over to the practice, as Gil was speaking to, in many ways, is giving ourselves to the Dharma. And then the Sangha, which we get to experience in this beautiful virtual world of a fellowship of practitioners, of people really learning to open their hearts, deepen their wisdom, be free of suffering, cultivate peace, and how beautiful it is to be supported on that path, and how important it is to be supported on that path in a fellowship of practitioners. So we'll take the refuges together, and we'll take it in the Polly, and I'll screen share for those of you who might want to review to see the words for the chanting. And I'd ask you to keep your microphones muted and chant to yourself while I chant. So we'll all chant together, but we won't be able to hear each other. It would be a bit cacophonous if we all unmute. So hang on for one moment. Let's see. I think that works, yeah. Okay, great. So beginning with this homage to the Blessed One, to the Buddha, and then we'll chant together the three refuges. So we'll just go through the entirety together. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhamman saranam gacchami. Sangham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhamman saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhamman saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. So from here, Inez will lead us in the precepts. And thank you.
The Buddha. Is my sound okay? Thank you. The Buddha taught that virtue is the foundation of spiritual life. As the foundation, it's an essential condition for the wholesome states of liberative dependent origination to arise. As Gill said, when our soil is wholesome, it creates the conditions for this practice to bear fruit. When we live our lives based on non-harming, on kindness to everyone, including ourselves, we have a sense of integrity and we feel blameless. This blamelessness can give us a sense of trust, of confidence in ourselves. That's the second link of liberative dependent arising. When our actions of body, of speech and thought are based on kindness, it naturally increases our ability to be happy and be at ease. At the heart of this practice is letting go of our attachments, of clinging. Any time that we intentionally cause harm, we're practicing attachment and clinging. A dedication to non-harming is deeply intertwined with a dedication to non-clinging. We traditionally connect with this dedication to non-harming by reciting the five precepts. These five precepts can be woven quite deeply into our practice, deepening more and more as our practice matures. The first of the precepts is to refrain from killing. I like to include and to act with reverence for all forms of life. This connects me with my heartfelt wish to treat all living beings with care. The second is to refrain from taking that which is not given. For me, it includes appreciating what we receive. It also includes doing my best to protect the environment and trying to use resources well and not taking them from future generations. Number three is to refrain from sexual misconduct. For this retreat, it means not participating in any sexual activity during the retreat. In daily life, it refers to respecting this energy and not causing harm with it. Number four is to refrain from lying and speak truthfully. I like to add to speak kindly. For this retreat, it means maintaining noble silence and speaking only as needed. For some of you who live with others, this might look a little bit different than in a residential retreat. And number five is to refrain from intoxicants that cloud the mind. These days, I think it's important to include the internet and our devices as common intoxicants. For those of you that might be tempted by your devices, it might be helpful if you think of them as intoxicants, that addictive quality that keeps us from having a clear mind and peaceful heart. On retreat, the five precepts help create a safe and supportive environment for our practice, for our own practice, and for all of us practicing together. We ask you to verbally agree to these five precepts for the duration of the retreat. On residential retreats, we speak in call and response, but as you all know, it doesn't work so well in Zoom. So please stay muted, and I'll share a screen with you so you can read them and recite them with me in your own space. For the duration of this retreat, I agree to refrain from killing and to act with reverence for all forms of life. I agree to refrain from taking that which is not given. I agree to refrain from sexual activity. I agree to maintain noble silence and to only speak when needed. And I agree to refrain from intoxicants that cloud the mind. So let's appreciate the noble silence that has begun with sitting for a few minutes. Few minutes of silence together. So you might, if you, depending how your energy is, you might continue sitting or walking meditation or have a cup of tea or just go to bed early. So enjoy the rest of the evening and have sweet dreams tonight. Thank you.